today's episode of the Mentoring Minute podcast, we're pleased to welcome Scott Grace from Big Brothers Big Sisters of Calgary. Scott is going to be sharing with us about the Pride mentoring program they have for LGBTQ2S+ youth facing barriers. It's called the PRISM program. The PRISM programming stands for Pride, Respect, Identity, Safety, and Mentoring. PRISM mentoring connects mentors and young people from the LGBTQ2S+ community. These mentoring relationships help young people to achieve goals, overcome challenges, and try new things. A mentor understands the adversity faced by young people and understands the mentee and celebrates who they are. Research suggests that access to caring adults can help to buffer negative health and behavior risks for LGBTQ2S+ youth. These youth have also identified that they need access to caring adults who accept and affirm their identities, give guidance, and connect them to needed resources. Given the multiple barriers that LGBTQ2S+ youth face, programs that like this that support them in finding these caring adults is essential. So wherever you are in Alberta, it's important for us to think about how we help youth facing barriers. We know that there's a disproportionate amount of queer youth who are homeless in Alberta. We know that many of them face higher instances of bullying and adverse experiences at school and in the community. So as mentors, if we can think about how to design programs and supports to help them, wherever we are in Alberta, this is essential work to reflect on. So I encourage you to check out Scott's presentation. We'll have the video available on albertamentors.ca, along with his PowerPoint and contact information to get in touch with Scott. So over to you, Scott.
All right, thank you. Thanks everybody for coming. Like Michael said, today is really just about some of the barriers that LGBTQ2S+ youth are facing and kind of the work that we've done with the PRISM program here in Calgary. So I guess I'll just jump right into it. So talking a little bit first about some of the challenges and barriers. So first we'll talk about the phobias. So transphobia, biphobia, homophobia, those are the hatred, disbelief of people who are LGBTQ2S+, thought to be LGBTQ2S+, or whose gender expression doesn't conform to traditional gender roles. These phobias can take many different forms, such as negative attitudes and beliefs, aversion to and prejudice against LGBTQ2S+ people, misunderstanding, discounting preferred pronouns or gender identity, derogatory language, bullying, abuse, and violence. When youth who are part of this community are subjected to society's negative perceptions and stigmas, they can turn these ideas inward and start to believe that what they are hearing and seeing is true. And this can result in those internalized phobias. These can lead to significant health problems and behaviors down the road, such as low self-esteem, substance abuse, feelings of deep shame around sexual experiences, and isolation, just to name a few. All young people require caring adults to help them develop resiliency that they need to face the challenges in life. And in the LGBTQ2S+ community, caring adults are especially critical for children and youth. These youth are at higher risk for discrimination, rejection, and high conflict family relationships. LGBTQ2S+ youth are more likely to experience bullying and school-based violence, depression, substance use, homelessness, and suicidality. LGBTQ2S+ youth who are part of ethnic and or religious communities that are not supportive of their identities may face additional vulnerabilities and risk. Family rejection is a very real possibility for youth when they do come out, and this contributes to LGBTQ2S+ youth being overrepresented within the homeless population. Within the actual shelter system, these youth often face the same kinds of discrimination and rejection that they have experienced from their families. And we know that youth who experience rejection from family and society are at a higher risk for both physical and mental health problems as they grow into adults. For youth with a non-supportive home life, school is not always a respite. A national study that was completed in 2011 through EGALE Canada found that 64% of Canada's LGBTQ2S+ youth reported feeling unsafe at school. These stressful life factors can inhibit a smooth and healthy transition to adulthood for these youth. LGBTQ2S+ youth are more likely than their heterosexual counterparts to leave home at an early age, and they're more likely to report parental conflict and childhood physical, sexual, and or emotional abuse as contributing factors to homelessness. Young people aged 13 to 24 who are homeless make up approximately 20% of the homeless population in Canada, and within 29.5% identified with being part of the LGBTQ2S+ community. Although there is suggestion to that, people believe that the number is actually closer to 40%, as more youth may not want to disclose their identities due to the lack of trust, fear of violence, or from their previous experiences. So how can mentors help to work through some of the barriers? So mentoring relationships have been found to be beneficial to youth and are associated with reduced delinquency and positive educational, physical, and mental health outcomes. Activities for mentors and youth can include the chance to explore different aspects of the LGBTQ2S+ community. So mentorship programs that partner youth and adults from the LGBTQ2S+ community can play a critical role in introducing them to many aspects of the community. One-on-one and group activities might include volunteering at a local LGBTQ2S+ event, attending a themed film festival. In Calgary, we just had the Fairy Tales Queer Film Festival, and some of our Prism matches actually got to go to that for free, so that was great. Attending community events like Pride, or in Calgary, they also have a Reading with Royalty program, which is where drag kings and drag queens read stories at the library to children and youth in the community. So mentors who are LGBTQ2S+ can provide excellent role modeling for a young person who is coping with social and systemic prejudice and discrimination. Many LGBTQ2S+ adults have developed strong positive coping skills for surviving in a world which regularly attempts to devalue their self-worth as an LGBTQ2S+ person. So that brings us into PRISM. So as Michael said, PRISM stands for Pride, Respect, Identity, Safety, and Mentoring. This was adopted from a similar program that's already running through Big Brothers Big Sisters of Winnipeg. In Calgary, PRISM is a pilot mentoring program that aims to help youth build their social emotional skills and resiliency, navigate barriers to complex systems, repair or develop healthy family connections, and increase their natural supports. So PRISM matches adults and youth who identify within the LGBTQ2S+ community to help increase youth resiliency, executive functioning, and social emotional competence through a developmental relationship. This aligns with a new theory of change that Big Brothers Big Sisters of Calgary and area has gone through. And in short, that theory of change just says that we serve youth and children in Calgary, an area who are facing adversity and in need of additional support, so that children and youth we serve will experience a developmental relationship where their mentors express care, challenge growth, provide support, share power, and expand possibilities. This will hopefully lead to youth and children realizing their full potential and becoming more resilient. So LGBTQ2S+ youth are a group who have some complex and intersecting needs. And so the program that's running in Calgary helps to mitigate the vulnerabilities these youth are experiencing by finding the right supportive mentor to help every youth reach their full potential. So this is just some of our, what you're seeing is some of our like marketing that we've been putting out on social media for PRISM, on our Facebook, on our Twitter, and Instagram pages. So, what have we done here in Calgary, to help develop this program and run this program? So, affirming and supporting the gender and sexual identities of youth we serve is important to us. And so at Big Brothers Big Sisters of Calgary and area, we have made the following steps to make sure that we are a safe place for LGBTQ2S+ youth. So we have developed our new diversity and inclusion policy, which basically states that we are committed to an inclusive environment where each person is valued, respected, and supported for different attributes, skills, and experiences, regardless of ethnicity, age, gender identity, or expression, national origin, family or marital status, physical disability, mental disability, language, political affiliation, race, religious or spiritual belief, sexual orientation, socioeconomic status, or any other characteristics that make our communities and individuals unique. And this is something that we explain to every family, every volunteer, every child and youth that comes through our doors, that this is something that we believe in, and that the youth that come through, we're finding the best mentor for them, and that may not be someone of the same sexual orientation, gender expression, or even religion. So families do need to be accepting of that when they do come into the program. So another step that we've taken is we have formed some gender neutral washrooms or gender inclusive washrooms. So we've changed our bathrooms to do that. So that's actually the sign from our bathroom here at our office. We also have created I call it a literature wall. We've been posting things for the queer community. This is right at our front door, so people can see this when they walk in. It also has our Positive Space poster on it. So we post events like from Calgary Pride or other queer serving agencies around there. And so that way it's some of the first things that people see when they do come in. We've also added a bunch of literature that supports inclusiveness and diversity to our little reading section that we have at the front. So those are just a few of the books that we've added there for kids to read while they're waiting for intake, while they're waiting to do their interviews, or while they're waiting to meet with their mentor for the first time. So there's the Positive Space poster that we have just a little bit up close. So these are plastered all over our office, in our training space, our boardroom, right at the front when you walk in. So it's one of the first things that you see, so people know that this is a safe place to be who you are. We've also developed pronoun buttons that we have available at the front. We provide it during our volunteer child and family training. And we also have it in our boardroom as well for folks. We also had the formation of an internal and external advisory committee. So these were with community partners who serve and are members of the LGBTQ2S+ community. And this was an integral part for the formation of PRISM in Calgary. Without the support and guidance from these people, it would have taken a lot longer to get where we are today. So another important part of us was adhering to our confidentiality policies so that children and youth are not outed against their wishes. So part of this has been integrating different questions into our interview templates. So our interview template, it now has a spot where we talk about experiences with identity. And if youth do come into our program and they're not out to their parents and they want PRISM and they want a PRISM mentor, what we've been doing to kind of respect their wishes of not wanting to out them is their parents do need to be aware that they are signing up for mentoring and they don't need to know the specifics about the program. So as long as the parents are okay with the diversity and inclusion policy and we explain that, then it's not a problem at all. Another big step for creating this program was staying connected with community partners who serve LGBTQ2S+ youth and staying informed and updated about what's going on in the community in general. So in Calgary, we have Center for Sexuality that has been supporting us throughout this whole process. They did an internal organization audit for us and reviewed all of our policies, all of our procedures, our interview templates, our space in general, and made recommendations. And then we've basically followed those recommendations. And that's where a lot of this stuff came from. We've also partnered with Skipping Stones, which serves a lot of trans youth in the community. And they've been a huge part because they do also have a mentorship program. But theirs is more in a group setting where ours is more one-on-one. So we've been able to partner with them, which has been fantastic. On our website, we've also included identity-affirming language so that LGBTQ2S+ youth and volunteers know that they are welcome and encouraged to apply to our mentorship programs. We've also organized different trainings for staff and volunteers around supporting sexual and gender diversity and creating a culture of respect for sexual and gender diversity. Both of those trainings were provided to us by the Center for Sexuality here in Calgary. So these are some quotes that were taken directly from youth interviews. These are youth that are matched within the PRISM program in Calgary. And this, I think, shows some of the importance of what these mentoring relationships can do for the youth in the community. So One youth specifically identified that he wants a mentor in PRISM to help guide him through the different systems he will come across because of his trans identity. Another youth was looking forward to spending time with someone from the community because none of her friends identified this way and she felt lonely. And another youth told me that they are wanting a mentor within PRISM to be able to help them through the transition and in hopes that their mentor could teach them how to not react when people are judging them and help teach them some of those coping skills. And the most important aspect for this kid was someone who is going to accept them for who they are and wouldn't try to change them. And then within the match, I've got a little quote here. These are direct quotes from a youth, a mentor, and a parent. So the youth had expressed that they enjoy having their mentor around as someone who they can talk to and know that when they are with their mentor, they feel cared about. A mentor shared that she enjoys the conversations that they have with their mentee. They love learning new things about the queer community with their mentee and getting a different perspective through her. And a parent identified that they were excited that their child now has the opportunity to spend some time with someone from the same community who will have a better understanding of the struggles that their child is facing. And that's been a common theme with a lot of the parents or guardians who are applying for their kids, is they want their kid to have someone that they can connect with on a different level. So someone who understands those different experiences that they're going to be going through throughout life. Which has been great so far. So I have a little video here we're gonna try to watch. So if it lags, just stick with us.
Dear 29-year-old Morgan.
Dear 28-year-old AJ.
Dear 22-year-old Charlie.
Probably look and sound very different right now.
One thing you always need to remember is to stay positive.
Let's do what makes you happy.
Really hope you found a job and a place to stay.
I'm still performing, making art, making work that I'm proud of.
And not be a bum, please.
And not compromising on my values.
I hope you're in a good place, because honestly, I can't wait until I'm 27. I'm done with all this teenager garbage. And
you're a 29-year-old Quinn.
Dear 29-year-old Catherine. Dear 28-year-old Lucy.
I hope that your father has come around and is very, very supportive of you.
Will you ever get there to the point where you're real in everywhere, in the hearts of your parents, in the hearts of yourself?
Just be happy, please, because I'm miserable right now.
I just wanted to let you know that you're awesome, and I love you.
And I hope that you can look in the mirror and find you be happy with who you are, and have people who are happy with who you are, too.
And just believe in yourself, and you're going to do great. And I love you so much. Love, 19-year-old Morgan.
Awesome. Good job.
So I really like that video because it shows a lot of what a lot of these kids are going through. So research suggests that access to caring adults can help to buffer negative health and behavioral risks for LGBTQ2S+ youth. These youth have also identified that they need access to caring adults who accept and affirm their identities. Oh, goodness, it's playing again. I'm sorry. These youth have also identified that they need access to caring adults who accept and affirm their identities. I don't know why this keeps doing this. Gotta love technology.
I have to agree, it's a very powerful video. I'm glad we could show it. Scott, if you're interested, you can always just, if you skip maybe two slides ahead and see if it.
There we go.
Or if you want to.
That works.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll keep talking about the last slide.
Please do. Yeah.
And then we'll jump into a little activity that I have for everybody. So what I was saying was that about caring adults, the youth that have identified that they need access to caring adults, they want people who are going to accept and affirm their identities, give them guidance, and connect them to needed resources. Given the multiple barriers that LGBTQ2S plus youth face, programs that support them in finding caring adults is essential. There's no map or guidebook for coming out or being out. It's different for everybody. And with a caring mentor to support them, LGBTQ2S plus youth can find their own path, safe in the knowledge that there's a person in their life who celebrates everything that they are and who they are. So we're going to jump into an activity. Not too sure how many folks are here, but the way that we're going to do this, typically I would have given you a colored flower, but what we're going to do is everyone just grab like a spare piece of paper that you might, I hope that some you have handy. And if you were born in January, February, or March, I want you to write the color blue on that piece of paper. If you were born in April, May, or June, write the color yellow. July, August, or September, the color purple. And October, November, December, the color red. So on that piece of paper, I want you to write your name in the middle, and then on one part of the paper close to an edge, I want you to write the name of a very close friend of yours. So someone who you tell everything to. On another side of the paper, write a community that you belong to. So this could be a church, a club, a sports team, anything like that. On another part of the paper, I want you to write a specific family member. So this is a family member that you trust, that makes you happy, and someone that you feel safe in confiding in. On another part of the paper, I want you to write your career aspiration. So this could be your current job. This could be something that you've always wanted to do, and you can think as big as you want for this as well. And the final thing I want you to write on your paper is the hopes and dreams that you have for yourself down in the future. You can write down as many things on this part of the paper as you want. I'll give everyone a few seconds to finish writing all of that, and then I'm going to take us through a story. So now what's going to happen is everyone who is listening, you are now all part of the LGBTQ2S plus community, and you are about to embark on your coming out process. So I just want to remind everybody that this activity can bring up some emotions for some people. So just be aware of the things that you're feeling. And if you need to take a moment, take a moment, and you can step away if you need to. So you decide that it will be easiest to talk to your friends first. These friends have always been there for you, and you want to be able to share with them your identity. If you have blue written on your paper, your friend has no problem with the news. They've suspected it for a while, and they thank you for sharing. They also don't act any differently towards you or around you, and they accept you for who you are. If you have yellow or purple written on your paper, your friends are hesitant. They're a little irritated that it took you so long to tell them. However, you're confident that they'll come to terms with who you are. If you can, please fold back that point. This represents a stressed relationship. If you have red written on your paper, you are met with anger and disgust. This friend who has been by your side through good and bad tells you that being part of the LGBTQ2S plus community is wrong, and they can't be associated with anyone like you. If you have red written on your paper, please tear off this part. This friend is no longer in your life. With most of you having such good luck with your friends, you decide that your family deserves to know. You decide to turn to your closest family member first, so that it will be easier to come out. If you have purple, the conversation doesn't go exactly how you planned. Several questions are asked as to how this could have happened, but after some lengthy discussion with this person who is close to you, they seem slightly more at ease with the information. I want you to fold back this point, since this person will be your ally in time. If you have blue, your family member embraces you. They are proud of you, and they are happy that you've decided to let them know. They will always be there for you. If you have yellow or red, your family rejects the thought of being related to a person who is part of the LGBTQ2S+ community. Much like some of your friends, they are disgusted at this. Some of you are thrown out of your house or disowned. You are now part of the 29.5% of homeless youth who identify as LGBTQ2S+. If you have yellow or red, please tear off this side. Having told your friends and family, the news of you coming out has been spread around. Members of your community are now aware of your identity. If you have purple or blue, you're accepted by your community. They embrace the news with positivity. If you have yellow, you are met with mixed responses. Some accept you and some don't know what to think. You remain a part of this community, but it will take some time for you to be accepted as you once were. If you have yellow, please hold back that point. If you have red, your community reacts with hatred. They tell you that you don't belong to this community. The people who have supported you through everything no longer speak to you or acknowledge you. If you have red, tear off this side. At work, the rumors are still flying around about you coming out. In the past, you have confronted rumors, but you're not sure if you should confront these rumors because they could have a harmful impact. However, you don't have a choice. If you have red or yellow, you continue to work as if nothing has changed, but one day you show up to work and you're informed that you've been fired. Any personal belongings you had at work are now boxed up and you are asked to remove yourself from the property. If you have red or yellow, please tear off this point. If you have blue, your coworkers begin to approach you and let you know that they've heard the rumors and they don't care. They will support you and your bosses react the same way. If you have purple, your workplace becomes interesting. Everyone starts to assume they know your identity, even though you haven't confirmed or denied the rumors. Some people speak to you less, yet the environment doesn't seem to have changed too drastically. If you have purple, please fold back this point. Now your future lies ahead of you as a member of the LGBTQ2S+ community. Your hopes, dreams, and wishes for the perfect life remain for some of you. If you have purple, blue, or yellow, these hopes and dreams are what keep you going. Most of you have been met with some sort of rejection since the beginning of your coming out, yet you have managed to continue to live a happy and healthy life. Your personal hopes and dreams become a reality. If you have red, you have fallen into despair. You have been met with rejection during every step while coming out. Your friends, family, community, and work have all turned on you. You've become depressed, and without any other place to turn, you turn to alcohol and drug use. Eventually, you feel your life is not worth living. If you have red, please tear up the whole piece of paper. You are now part of the statistics of those who have completed suicide who are LGBTQ2S+. So this is a bit of an empathy building exercise that can be tough for some people. So I don't know, I'd like to open it up at this point just so if anyone is willing to share how they felt during the activity or let me know if anything surprised them or if there was any lessons that you think you can take away from this.
So if you just want to type your response into the chat box, if you feel comfortable, we can share them with the audience. So one response is very powerful visualization.
Yeah, and you know, that's really the point of this exercise, is really to kind of show what the coming out process is like for different people. For myself, when I started to come out to the people I know, mine was more, I got lucky. I was not a red. I was more of like a purple, where some of my relationships were stressed. Some of my friends stopped talking to me. Luckily for me, my family was pretty open in time. It took them some time to come around to it, but they got there, which I'm very grateful for. But some people aren't as lucky.
There was another question, if they could have permission to use this activity with their staff.
Oh, absolutely. I think the activity should be on the PowerPoint, or if anybody needs to, I'll put up my contact information here. Those are just my references, so if anyone's curious about that, you can definitely reach out to me and I can send you the exercise. Or if you want to, I think Michael might be able to send the PowerPoint to folks.
Yeah, we can attach it as a attachment to the video and the podcast as well too. It'll be listed as a handout in the webinar today, but for other folks viewing this after the fact, we can include them. Scott, do you have time for a few questions?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I'll ask participants if they're interested, just type your questions into the chat box. I had a couple that were submitted in advance. So Scott, you talked a lot about partnerships. Now, many of our audience are from non-Calgary, Edmonton, metropolitan type areas without maybe a Pride Center or a formal queer community. Where do you recommend they look for supports?
It can get a lot harder when you live in smaller communities. You know, especially if you're out, it's lucky for some folks who are living in those areas outside of cities. So, you know, like places like Airdrie, Cochrane, and Okotoks are relatively close to Calgary, so they can access some of the supports within the city. But it's really tough because a lot of these youth may not be able to drive. So my biggest suggestion is, I know, I'm just trying to think back. So Airdrie actually held their very first Pride Festival this past weekend on Saturday, which was fantastic. It was well attended. And it was just a way to show the queer community in Airdrie that there are people there who will support them, especially for those folks who can't drive into Calgary or make it into Calgary. My suggestion would be, if you are relatively close to like a major city center, connect with their, either their Pride agency, or if they have something similar to, like in Calgary, we have the Center for Sexuality. They do a lot of like, they can do over the phone support as well for folks. If it's something for a youth who is experiencing some like depression or suicidal thoughts, I would suggest things like Kids Help Phone. Is a good one.
Yeah, that's great. With more and more gay straight alliances in schools becoming more frequent, how has that supported, impacted, or connected young people?
I think it's definitely helped people who, like, especially kids who may not be out yet, see that there is a queer community within their schools. I think it's going to be a lot tougher over the next little while here with the new rules, I guess you could say, that are going to be put into place from the current provincial government. It's going to be a little bit tougher for a lot of kids because they're not going to feel as safe joining those groups. But I think it's definitely helped kids realize that they have there's a community there, there's people who will support them, both adults and other kids. I think that's the biggest impact that I've seen, is kids are being more comfortable with coming out in schools.
Are there digital resources, newsletters, portals, or places where you have found reputable or quality support?
I believe Well, that's a great question.
maybe another question is, so it's amazing you've done this, and when you gave this presentation at Learning Day, it was very well received by the room, a lot of emotional responses, and it certainly had an impact. How, I guess, where do you go for further learning? How do you help evolve the PRISM program, and how do you, I guess I'm asking about your own, where do you look for program ideas or improvements? Are there other queer mentoring programs around North America that you're kind of working with, or a community of practice?
Yeah, so that's an amazing question. I'm lucky enough that PRISM was operating out of Winnipeg for a little bit of time when Calgary started looking at launching the PRISM program. So they've been a very, very valuable resource for us in terms of, you know, how to market, how to recruit. Center for Sexuality has been also a super valuable resource. They don't necessarily have like a mentorship program, but they do a lot of learning and a lot of training around the LGBTQ2S+ community. So we often bring them in for training for our staffs and for our volunteers. And their online, their website is really good. It has a lot of information as well. I try to stay as connected to the queer community as I can. I've joined I'm part of an interagency LGBTQ2S+ interagency group that meets the first Thursday of every month here in Calgary. And so those are all queer serving agencies. So we've got Calgary Pride as part of it, HIV Community Link is part of it. There's a couple of Calgary Outlink, the Queer Arts Film, Queer Arts Festival. Just staying connected to the queer community is probably the best way that I keep myself knowledgeable and with changes that come to the community. That would be my suggestion if anyone else is looking to start a program like this, is reach out to the queer community in your area. And if you don't think there's a queer community in your area, there is. There just might be a little bit harder to find.
Two more questions. One was a question about how the operation of the PRISM program has shaped or transformed the general Big Brothers Big Sisters of Calgary agency. Has this led to sort of more inclusiveness across the board, or has it led to more of a I don't know, I'd be interested in how it's changed the dynamic.
I think it's changed a lot because if you look at our, for example, our interview templates that we use for volunteers for children, youth, and families, those have all changed hugely. So we have removed all gendered language from that. So we're using more neutral language in there. We've incorporated parts into our volunteer training as well. So this is for volunteers who are coming to any of our programs. We are using pronoun pins during volunteer training. We have included talking about the diversity and inclusion policy at volunteer training. And I think, you know, in a way, it's also kind of helped to get the right type of mentors coming through the door. So those people who are super caring and open and accepting of everybody, right? So we have a great group of people that are coming in. And, you know, I think it's also worth noting that youth, children, and mentors who do identify within the LGBTQ2S+ community, they're not required to come into the PRISM program. We don't silo people into it. It's a choice. So there's definitely mentors who don't want to be part of it. And that's a lot of it is because it doesn't work with their time frame. So they do like our in-school mentoring. And then there's some youth who just aren't ready for the reality of being part of that community yet.
Yeah, no, I was wondering how you navigated that. That's most helpful. And then final question, what's your hope for the PRISM program 10 years from now?
You know, it's a great question. 10 years from now, I hope it's still running. I hope that there is lots of matches, and I hope that I hope that the kids and the youth and the mentors just find a sense of community. I hope that they find people that they can connect with, and people to help build relationships with. I think that's my biggest hope, is that these kids feel supported.
Well, once again, thank you so much, Scott, for joining us today. For those of you on the audio who want to connect with Scott, we encourage you to visit Big Brothers Big Sisters of Calgary, their website, bbbscalgary.ca, and you can find them on all social media looking for BBBS Calgary. And Scott's left the phone number there too, 403-777-3535. So ask for the PRISM program, and hopefully you'll find excellent learnings that you can implement for your own practice. Scott, thank you so much again for your presentation at Learning Day. Thank you so much again for joining us on the webinar. We'll be sending you a copy, and thank you again to everybody who participated today. And again, share this presentation, share the audio, and help spread the word about how we can support all of the youth facing